Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about everything energy. How do we respond as believers? Kind of that dichotomy of our natural resources and the needs of this nation. Why is energy independence so important for America? And what are some of the stories of the people in the energy industry? I'm here with Jackie of the Jackie Daily Show. You don't want to miss this episode. It's going to be awesome. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
So thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Hey guys, it's Bunny Pounds here with Conversations with Christians Engaged. This month, we're talking about all the issues that the church is not paying attention to. I know there's so many issues, Christians out there, that we just feel, you know, it's overwhelming, all the things that we can learn about and understand. We've never done an episode on the energy issue, and it's an important issue. How do we as believers kind of look through all of these things as it relates to our energy needs in this nation, energy independence, and then just what is it like to be in the industry? So I'm here with my friend, Jackie. Jackie Deason is such a great friend, and she has a show called The Jackie Daily Show. I love what I love about Jackie. She studied in the U.S., she studied in the U.K. and Spain, and then is alumni of Vanderbilt University School of Law, was the president of the Federalist Society there, went on to work on the Hill, went on to be a senior fellow at Texas Public Policy Foundation, and just does everything in the movement to educate people on energy issues. Also, she's a strong Christian. Jackie, it's so great to have you with us today.
It is so good to be with you, Bunny. Thanks for the opportunity and the beautiful, generous introduction. It's so kind.
Well, we just so appreciate you. And I'm just thankful for you as a friend, just helping us with Christians Engaged through the years, just encouraging people to
likewise
connect with us. And it's just been a blessing, my sister.
Absolutely. And likewise.
Well, you have been operating, you know, in federal public policy for years. You worked on the Hill for many prominent members of Congress, and you've really dived into the depth of this issue. But what kind of captured your heart as a Christian? Why is energy issues so important for our nation?
So why it captured my heart was, at the time I was on Capitol Hill, we were doing the War on Terror, which is really a horrible name for it. But you know exactly what that means. Essentially, the Middle East had captivated our attention and our military's attention and energy for so long. And I realized that, wow, most terrorism is funded by oil-rich nations. In fact, countries that their only product, pretty much, that they export is petroleum. They are petrostate dictators. And so they had so much power and control. And I thought, how do we change this? Like, my contribution as a Christian, as an American, to this conversation, to the national conversation, is how do we get off of this influence that oil money brings?
Right.
Because I view it as mostly negative.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about OPEC and Russia, primarily.
Yep.
How do we get off of them and back onto our own energy? And what kind of really pushed me into this was I watched the genocide of Christians across the Middle East and North Africa, and I watched the U.S. State Department stand by
and watch
and do nothing.
Yep.
Why? Because I went to Congress first and foremost for religious freedom work, And so I went to work for an oil man. It happened to be Trent Franks from Arizona. And he had been a third generation oil man. We start talking about this and I realize, wow, we have a major problem because we're standing by because of the influence that oil has in the geopolitical world.
Wow.
So that's where it started. And then I met former CIA director Jim Woolsey, who became my first guest on the show. He was appointed by Bill Clinton, a lifelong Democrat, and he told me that basically when he was CIA director, it took him 1 year to get a meeting with Bill Clinton, but the Saudi ambassador would walk into the White House every week with no meeting. That's how powerful you are if you are this country's oil source. So there was this relationship between us and the Saudis since the 1930s. They give us oil, we provide their defense. Defense in the Middle East gets really deadly.
Yeah.
And nasty. So along came the fracking revolution. And I caught on to what fracking was and why it mattered, since it like more than doubled our oil and gas production. I thought it was all about solar and wind and electric vehicles and efficiency. So I actually left Capitol Hill and went to work for a solar company, if you can believe
that.
Yeah, back in 2013, before I realized, wow, this stuff doesn't solve the problem at all. And I talk a lot on my show about that. But the point is, I think about my show as like trying to prevent World War III. Really. It's like energy scarcity is a weapon of war. As Jim Woolsey said on my show, as Obama's former national security advisor said on my show, General Jim Jones, this is the theme. You know, energy scarcity is a weapon of war. Energy is what determined the outcome of the first two world wars.
Yes.
The United States provided between 70 and 80% of the oil or diesel or whatever it was required to win those wars. The Green Movement is about making sure we can't do that this time around. And we can't defend ourselves. We become reliant on other countries. If we're going to be wind, solar, and electric vehicles, those all require rare earth minerals that we don't have. The Chinese have them. Mm. So you go from being reliant on your own oil and gas under your own feet that's secure, or maybe it comes from Canada or other friendly countries. Canada is our number one source of imports, to being reliant on the Chinese. How convenient is that?
Yeah.
And then when we pull out of the oil and gas space, it's OPEC and Russia that jumps in and takes that market share and gets rich. When we are doing the green agenda, which doesn't work to solve any climate change problem, is its first problem. What we're doing, like in New York, they banned fracking. So there are farmers that have all this, shale rock under their feet, are struggling to stay alive. They could be getting rich.
Yep.
And instead, they're importing the natural gas from Russia and funding that war against Ukraine. This is what happens. Like, even now, oil is the number one traded commodity in the world by far. And to pretend like the world has changed, like we're moving beyond oil, like we're going to keep it in the ground, that's all false. Those are all false narratives I talk about in my show all the time. And the reason why we have to get this right is we want to empower what we view as the best people or the best governments on earth and disempower the worst and the most warlike and tyrannical. And so for me, that's what it's about.
Well, way to break it down, Jackie, from the get-go. We have a constant debate, right? As people of faith, you read Genesis, you look about how God wanted us to steward the earth, take good care of the garden, right? We have all these natural resources, but yet then we have needs in air conditioning, heating, gas for our cars, right? And so there's this debate of how to balance that. As a believer, how do you kind of balance that? And then we'll go back into energy independence because I want to dive into that. But how do you kind of focus for yourself personally, not talking about federal public policy right
now? Yeah, so stewardship is a mandate. Mm-hmm. It's not optional. We have to protect the earth. And so the good news is, actually, the more fossil fuels you use as a society, the healthier your people are, the longer the lifespan, the cleaner your air is, actually. Believe it or not, the United States has the cleanest air on earth. If you're looking at, like, for example, it's called PM2.5, particulate matter. It's the kind of air pollution that kills. It lodges in your lungs. It causes cardiopulmonary problems and kills millions of people. We have the lowest PM2.5 readings in the world with the exception of certain island nations in the middle of nowhere that have a tiny fraction of our economy, even though we've like more than doubled our economy over time since like 1970, and our population has boomed. How do we do that? Technology, whether it's catalytic converters, whether it's capturing the pollution at the source near the plant, we have dramatically reduced all the major pollutants. So the six federally regulated pollutants have been reduced by 70% or more since 1970. And it's not because we burn less fossil fuels. It's because we know with technology and innovation how to cure the problems that can be the side effect. So there's a solution for real pollution, and we've got it, and we get better all the time. And to be lectured by the UN and countries that don't hold a candle to our environmental record is really a little frustrating and silly and sickening. And I say so in the show.
Yeah.
Boldly. So, you know, we have some of the cleanest water, too. And that didn't happen by accident. That took work. And sometimes the environmental groups do good things. That's cleaning up a real problem. Mm. What's not a real problem is carbon dioxide as a crisis or an emergency. And people need to understand carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It's a greenhouse gas.
Yes.
Those are two very different things. So what is the number one greenhouse gas? Water vapor. Are we going to war on water vapor? Are we going to try to regulate water vapor? I mean, so you see the problem here is they're taking natural things that, yes, fluctuate over time. And maybe sometimes it isn't optimal for humankind. It is true. Climate change is happening and we are contributing. And we should pay attention to it. And know, you know, should we adapt? Should we move people off of coastal areas if it's seriously that big a problem? It's not. We know that because the people who are constantly crying about climate change are buying properties in South Florida, Martha's Vineyard, and places where they said we'd be underwater by now.
And still flying their jet planes, right?
Oh, their carbon footprint is many, many, many times the size of your and mine.
It's
by far, they're not too worried about it, actually, if you look at their actions. There's not being afraid. Like, fear is not a proper response to any problem. Like, I work with facts because facts dispel fear.
That's good.
That's how it works. Knowledge dispels fear. So once you have the knowledge, and it's, you know, it's not so scary anymore. And people's kids and grandkids are choosing to not have children because of climate change. So this is a very serious, impactful issue that we have to be serious about and get right. And I'll give you one just piece of information to make you feel good.
Yes, please.
Make you, you know, take away the fear. Here in Dallas at SMU, Obama's former deputy secretary of energy, a guy named Steve Koonin, came in to do a lecture because he had just written a book called Unsettled about climate change. This guy has like three PhD or at least three department chairs in like physics, engineering and business at NYU. He's a pretty smart guy.
Wow.
He took like the top 27 climate models that are cited by journalists and experts and academic journals. And he said, if you take the top 27, first of all, most people don't know there are 27. They think there's like one, you know, apocalyptic model, but there's not. He took the top 27 and he said, let's go back 10 years and go from what they were predicting to where we are now. And if you average them, on average, they overshot temperature increase by 45%. On average.
Wow.
Now, the press tends to only highlight the worst models, right? So if you took the worst, like the top five worst, and averaged those, they were about 80% above actual warming. That's how wrong and how off the models are. So in other words, yes, the temperature's increased a bit, certainly, you know, over the past 100 years, but this is not a crisis. This is not an emergency. This is not cause for forfeiting our rights and our sovereignty to the UN and letting them control every aspect of your life.
Yes.
To control an artificial problem. Mankind can handle the challenges. There's nothing that climate change presents that we can't address and address fully. No one should panic. No one should stop having children. No one should elect people who are take your money away and your rights, right? If you only hand them $2 trillion to redistribute to their friends who give money to their PACs, who founded a green energy company yesterday to solve the problems with technology that doesn't even exist yet. This is why we shouldn't panic and question the messengers.
Mm.
Be critical.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there would be people getting married, getting engaged, getting, you know, having parties, continuing life would continue until the day that he comes back. And so the idea that the world's just going to blow up, right, because of climate change really is just not biblical. But let's talk about, Jackie, number one, and I'll say this too about the news media. The news media just wants to feed us fear, period, right, on every side. And you have to balance all of that fear with the facts. And that's what you do so well on your show. Talk to us about the importance of American energy independence. You highlighted that at the beginning, but why is it so important that we're not just tied to Middle East oil and that we're able to drill and frack and do all of these activities? Hey, we're in Texas. I mean, it's a big deal for our state. Why is that important?
And it's a big deal for about 36 states, believe it or not, that produce oil, gas, and coal. Because people think it's just Texas and North Dakota and Pennsylvania. It's actually a lot more than that.
Well, and actually every state benefits from our endeavors,
yes.
Right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's becoming a very dangerous world. And, yeah. And now there's a rebalancing happening. It's pretty scary if you really drill into it. There's a movement afoot by the BRICS countries, which includes China and Russia. So very big powers that are not always our friend, to try to destroy the U.S. dollar in lieu of what they will put out, which it will be a digital currency, because that's very easy to control.
Yes.
And there's no privacy. And there's not much you can't do to someone if you control every dollar they can spend and shut off their money if you feel like it. So imagine, first of all, it should be obvious why that's a problem for Christians or for anyone who's a minority or holds the views that are not consistent with the state.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, again, going back to oil, oil is what is required, and natural gas too, and coal too, and nuclear too, what is required to be a superpower. So if you don't have these things, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
It's so over. And if you're reliant on people who don't like you and who have demonstrated time and again that when you really need them, they're going to not only not help you, but they're going to harm you, such as, you know, right before the financial meltdown back in 2008, oil prices went up to $147 a barrel.
Mm.
Right now, they're about 90, which is high. And so Bush said to the Saudis, who were his friends and his dad's friends, you go into the Bush Library here in Dallas, the very first photo is him holding hands with the Saudi leader strolling around in Crawford somewhere. Like I told you, they could walk into the White House whenever they felt like it.
Yep.
Bush said, excuse me, could you please produce more oil and bring the price down? Because obviously $147 a barrel means enormous gasoline prices, and it's built into the price of everything. Yep. Everything's made of oil. This microphone, my clothes, which are, you know, synthetic fibers, contact lenses, pharmaceuticals, electronics, it's all made from oil. People don't realize this. So he's like, could you please help us out? And they were like, no, we won't. And watched, yeah, that was a major contributor to the financial meltdown. That was an all-time high for oil prices ever. Mm. And so that was a major problem. So should we trust that the Saudis are going to help us? Why would we be reliant on them when we, in this country, are on a good day, with good prices, the number one oil producer on earth? It's not Saudi Arabia anymore.
Yes.
We say, you know, they're the Saudi Arabia of this or that. No, we can produce more than them, which is why they're angry. It cuts into their market share and their profits, brings the price down. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas in this country. Mm. We are the Saudi Arabia of coal. We are the Saudi Arabia of nuclear. And now, unfortunately, Texas is the Saudi Arabia of wind, which is why we have to get advisories like almost every day to stop using so much power, right? Because the wind only blows 30% of the time.
Okay, let's drill into that for a second, because most people in the country have heard that we've had issues with our electric grid here in Texas. I mean, we had a huge problem during a freeze. It was a big deal, right? But that shouldn't be, but we are even within because the federal government is dictating certain amounts of percentages of wind power and solar power, et cetera, it's actually hurting all of us. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it's the feds and it's also the states. Mm. A lot of states have renewable portfolio standards and they have these, you know, markers like by a certain year, we're going to have X percentage renewable, which some call unreliables more appropriately. And so what you're doing is you're taking what used to be energy sources that work about 97% of the time, almost 100% of the time, which is natural gas, coal, and nuclear. In this country, we don't really use oil for power. Mm-hmm. We use it for transportation fuel and petrochemicals mostly. But so you have the, these plants that run up to, you know, 90 some odd percent of the time at their capacity, replacing it gradually with wind and solar, which mm-hmm. obviously only work when the sun shines or the wind blows.
Yeah.
Which is about 30% of the time. Okay, how smart do you have to be to understand? The more that you retire coal plant, perfectly functional coal plants and natural gas plants and nuclear plants, and replace them with plants that work a third of the time on a, you know, if you're really lucky that year, how long until you don't have enough power? You're going to have less power. Period. It's that easy. No one would ever invest in this stuff, except you have a false narrative on climate change to suggest that if you don't, mankind will become extinct in 12 years, which is silliness. Or because, you know, people make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
If you can talk the government into setting aside, like in Texas, $66 billion to build this stuff out, someone made $66 billion.
That's a lot of money.
That money that we paid for that went into someone's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And those someones are the people who are funding all of the education and the press pieces to persuade you with fear, because fear is the strongest driver for humankind. It just is. That we need to do this. And so, you know, Texas was the number one state for business for years, probably still is, but that won't go on much longer if we can't provide reliable power to businesses. Why would you come here if you have a large, whether you're Tesla or, I mean, these are the, or, you know, energy intensive businesses that are manufacturing, whatever.
Yeah.
Why would you come here if this state can't keep the lights on? What's so shameful about that? Is wow. We're the only state with its own grid. We have a self-contained grid that we can actually control. We're the only state. The rest of the states either are on the eastern grid or the western grid. So they're at the mercy of decision makers across multiple states. In Texas, there's no such excuse. So we don't need to do this. I promise you, if we keep building out our wind and solar, which is what we're doing right now,
mm-hmm.
then these blackouts, brownouts, outages will become more and more frequent. You should expect this to increase. This will get worse, not better. Plus, the state has an exploding population, meaning demand is going up.
Yes.
Whether it's the refugees from states like California, the economic refugees who are Americans, or whether it's the refugees coming across the southern border for all kinds of reasons, you know, maybe 2 million a year. For all we know, it's not like they're actually counting them all. We don't even know how many are here, but they need power too.
Yeah.
They need to go to hospitals. They need to live. They need to go to schools. So bad recipe, skyrocketing demand for all kinds of reasons, because we're a good state mostly. People want to be here.
Right.
Versus, you know, plummeting supply of power because our leaders insist on replacing reliables with unreliables.
Well, and it's a perfect example of how policies on the federal and state side can impact our lives, right? We don't really think, we have this debate all the time, Jackie, as you know, in churches with church people is, well, you know, why should I care? Why should I get involved with government? Well, that's why, because government decisions extend to all of us and they affect all of our lives. We're not even talking about all the deep, deep issues. Wow, guys, wasn't that an incredible conversation with Jackie Deason? I just love her so much. What a wealth of information on everything energy. We had a little problem with part of that conversation that the file got corrupted. So we were just about to go into a section where I asked her about her show. And I just got back from Midland where a man told me he listens to her every week religiously. So this is how you get a hold of Jackie and you listen to her show. It's JackieDaily.com. Jackie with an I, just an I, like bunny with an I. Jackie Daily, like daily bread, JackieDaily.com. So check that out. Also, you can check out her show wherever you get your audio pods, Apple, Spotify, etc. But if you really want to understand the energy issue, Jackie is one of the leading experts in the nation on these issues. And it's an issue that really Christians need to get more informed on. So check that out. And we're just so thankful for you guys. As we're ending the year, please consider Christians Engaged in your year-end giving. We are believing God for a massive year in 2024, and we need the reserves. We need some more cash as we go into 2024 to make sure our team is prepared for this massive year. This is the year, 2024, where Christians Engaged gets on the radar of everybody. So thank you for considering Christians Engaged. Go to ChristiansEngaged.org and please give the largest year-end gift you can. Sign up to be a monthly partner into this next year. We love you. We'll see you next year. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What a time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.